Susie from MERP, and I am here with David and Russ from Vices. Welcome to Portland.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
You guys got in this afternoon kind of late. Did you have any chance to do anything here in town?
No. Well, we saw the other side of the street, and then we saw the
beautiful,
venue.
By the way.
Yeah, fantastic.
Nice. What is the best thing about touring?
Waking up in a different city every day.
Yeah.
Seeing the country.
Getting to play on stage with these guys every day is always like... Mm-hmm. Because when you go through those long drives and those tired moments where you're like, oh, I just want to be in my bed again, and you get on stage with your guys and you're just firing it off, you're just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, you know, it doesn't matter what goes wrong in your day. Once you get on stage, it's just like, oh, this is what. It's why we do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Least favorite thing.
Least favorite thing? I don't know. Sometimes when you're just, like, crabby and you're just living right on top of each other, that's kind of like... Probably like because you're trying to keep morale up and everything like that 24/7, and when you're crabby it just kind of comes out, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's not actually not a problem that we really have a lot in this band at all, though. I'll tell you that
we communicate really well.
Yeah,
one of the questions I have had later on in the interview, I'll ask it now, was I'm assuming your answer is going to be both, but is it better to have like a brotherhood in this band, or is it better to have stellar musicians? Which do you think is the better way to go?
It's got to be a combination of both.
You have,
I mean,
to
it just
have
has to. Yeah, it can't be. If you just have stellar musicians and they have an ego or whatever, good luck. That's going to last not very long. You know, someone's getting left in Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I've already been in bands that you're super tight with that the guys weren't on the same page as far as, I'm not saying as far as the musicianship, but as far as the vision and the work ethic. And then it just doesn't work. I mean, you do have to have both, you know. It's just like a relationship being married, you know. You got to have, you know, you got to be able to be there for each other, work together, and, you know, the right kind of everything.
Yeah.
Married to 3 or 4 or 5 people.
Yeah.
And they're all dudes.
Yeah, and they're all emotional musician dudes.
Bands like Metallica and Slayer, they would say their influences were like Deep Purple and Black Sabbath and stuff like that. Who do you think are the main influences for bands in this genre today?
I mean, I can't speak for anybody else, but I mean, I know me personally, like, I take influences from everything. I mean, when I was growing up, my dad gave me 3 decades worth of music on vinyl, and I listened to all of that. So, you name it, everything from Zeppelin, Doors, Rolling Stones, to 80s pop, to the Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, like, everything. I just listen to everything. And, you know, I'm just a fan of good songs.
That's what it boils down to, you know. I mean, there's someone who I was in, you know, death metal bands, rock bands, pop groups, all that kind of stuff. But it's really boils down to what feels good, you know, what you hear sonically that feels good. And I'm sure everybody has their own influences, you know, that draws that into them as well.
And good music is good music.
Absolutely, it doesn't matter what it is.
It's in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
Got me, Bieber.
So David, I read some of your influences, and they were all over the place as far as like your style on stage, your vocal style, bands that influenced you from, you know, Boy to Floyd to Slipknot to Pantera to Eden and all that. When you were a kid, it sounds like music was prevalent in your house if your dad's giving you vinyl and stuff like that. Was it rock that was mostly played?
Yeah, rock. I mean, I grew up watching MTV right when MTV first came out. You know, I would wait for my dad to get home and we'd just sit and watch MTV all night. So, you know, it's everything that was on there. I just watched music videos for hours, you know, go play records in the other room. And I mean, it was just like, you know, I remember the first time I ever heard Michael Jackson's Thriller. I was in a car and I was a bad boy for my dad's baseball team that he coached for his high school team. And I was like, you gotta listen to this song. I'll never forget it. We were on our way to get cheeseburgers for everybody. That was my big thing, man.
Stealing bases after that, he just moonwalked.
Come a long way. I'm not giving you cheeseburgers and baseball teams anymore. Right?
Awesome.
Come a long way.
When you can have a defining moment like that where you can remember everything about it, smell, everything. What about you? What early influences for you?
Well, I mean, I grew up listening to pop music and jazz. That's what my parents were listening to. And then I discovered Motley Crue and got into rock, and then it kind of just changed from there. Headbangers Ball and Metallica and, you know, Pantera, obviously, and eventually Slipknot and stuff like that. As far as the heavier influences, you know, but I love 90s alternative and some of the best, that and 80s pop, I have to agree with Dave, some of the best music you're ever going to hear, you know?
Yeah. Besides music, is there anything that you guys do that you're passionate about that people don't necessarily know?
Well, I mean, I'm a big sports guy, so I'm always watching. I'm watching and playing, you know, like anytime I get a chance. I'm on the road a lot, so, you know, when I'm home, I do like to fill in on some of the flag football teams and stuff like that, you know. I don't know. I'm a competitive guy, so.
What about you?
Honestly, for me, it's just been mainly music and working, just trying to get this thing up and off the ground. You know, I've gone through a lot of changes in the last year, so it's still adjusting to certain things. But, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much 24/7 Vices.
The second single end of spring?
We're shooting for like 2 months. So
okay.
We had our last EP come out, and that was Devils, and we're gonna be doing this one. It's gonna have a couple new songs on, and it's also gonna have physical versions of Thin Luck and Nocturnal on it as well. So we're looking forward to that.
You mentioned that you write about either a topic or you just like free write. If you were going to do a concept album today and had to decide on a topic, what would it be?
I don't know. I've never really sat down and write a concept album before. That'd be something I'd really have to sit down and think about. I don't even know if I can answer
that
question.
Yeah, Dave writes a lot through experience, you know, and a lot of times, too, that could be something that just happens today. You know, it's very organic the way he writes his lyrics, so it's kind of like there's never like a plan. It's just kind of like something comes to him, and then all of a sudden that flow is there. You know, the melodies, and then we build the song around that. You know, then he has his personal outlet of what he's doing that helps capture the emotion with everybody else.
Most of your lyrics are on the darker side of human experience and things like that. Do you ever write about something, pure and white and love?
You know what? There's elements of hope in some of our stuff, but a lot of the stuff that we write about are our people's vices. You know, different things. I mean, we've got. It's also kind of a therapy thing for me too. So you know, I don't need to go to therapy for being happy. You know. So that's kind of my venting to the world, and you know, stuff I see. I take stuff from the news. I take stuff, you know, anything that kind of like touches me in a way that we could put it into the category of being a vice at some point, which is a lot of things. You know, that's kind of where a lot of stuff is. There's definitely been a couple songs I've written lyrics for in this band that I'll be honest, I don't even know what I started with. It was just one of those things that just. It was organically, and afterwards I had to sit down and think about what it was about, and I was like, oh, and it was something that was like just literally affecting me at the time, you know,
right.
Something real personal. You know, I've had a couple of personal things happen recently, and those things were like, you don't even know that you're talking about or venting about it, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I came back, and that's what that's about, cool, at least it's cool, you know, so, but yeah, it's like I said, it's a good thing, so, you know, and I think it's also one of the things that I really appreciate about my guys is they let me do my thing, their play, and with all my heart, like the melodies and everything like that. Because somebody else was writing lyrics for a song, you know, it would have to come off sincere. And I feel like a lot of times when you listen to bands and other people write their music, it doesn't come off sincere because it's not their feelings. You know, there's only very few times I've actually heard someone be able to do that in a totally different way. That was Johnny Cash cover, but it was his own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was two different songs to me. You know?
Right.
So, as a songwriter, I guess the older I get, I realize that music is sort of the output of emotion, no matter if it's good or bad. And being a songwriter, you have to have it come out of yourself.
Summer songs, they're like, yeah. You got those Christmas songs when you want to get gingerbread houses.
Tell me about Toto's Africa. Have you ever been to Africa?
Oh my gosh. It comes up every
time.
That's right.
Do you love that song or is it just fun to sing karaoke?
It's like my favorite song to sing.
Yeah, do you actually finish it though when you sing a karaoke?
Oh, I finish it, man. And then I get kicked out. I've been kicked out of every single karaoke bar ever. What's up, man? Looking good today. It was my thing for a while. And then it just became a thing when anytime we go out to a karaoke bar, all my friends would, you know, give me enough beers where I would just go up there. There's a 60-measure break in the middle where I would dump 2 beers on my head. But I would never sing the song. I would just scream it in people's faces. And I'll never forget when we were in Vegas. It was my brother's 21st birthday. And we went up in this. It was kind of like everybody was singing, like, lounge music, like Wayne Newton and stuff like that. It was an older crowd. And my brother was, and he was like, there's two girls sitting there with their parents. He's like, hey, are you guys having a good time? They're like, no, it's boring as hell, you know? And then wait a second. And I went up, and the lady was like, hey, would you like a DVD of your karaoke?
being attractive or masks or uniform outfits or things like that.
You've got to be able to sell whatever image you're putting out. And if you don't do that, then, you know, it's going to be really hard for people to get into music unless you have some just bomb song, you know what I mean? Like, that's just out of this world. Like, one thing that, like, I don't like when I go to see bands is if you're just sitting there and you walk in and these bands are just dressed in jeans and a t-shirt. They don't look like, they don't come off, they come off like a garage band to me. They didn't put any work in into an effort. It doesn't have to be much, but just look like a band. Don't just look like you just rolled out of bed, you know what I mean? And that's good for some people, but, I mean, I'm not going to remember that, you know? That's why we do what we do, you know, and that's just our personal opinion is whether you like our set or not, you're going to remember us.
It's nice to have the full effect, the music and the visual. I'm a death metal fan, but I just covered Pink a couple nights ago, and it was one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen.
I bet.
Do you guys have a measurement for when you have made it with this band?
No. There will never be a time that we're... It's like you conquer a goal, and then there's going to be like 20 other goals that just pop out of it, you know? You know, our goal is to be the biggest band in the world, and, I, you know, even then, you got to stay on top, you know?
Yeah, like satisfaction, it's a death desire,
yeah,
you know?
We want to be the headliner.
Yeah.
We want to be the headliner. But you know, like it's an upward battle, and every band knows what it is. You just got to keep putting it into 100%, whether you're getting kicked in the face 24/7 or if you're having a good day. You know, it's all got to be about forward progress, and that's kind of how we roll our band.
And that's the best part about going uphill the whole time is that there's that fight, and every time you get to like another level of something, you're like, yes, you know, that confidence to get to the next level, you know, and then you just keep one step at a time. You know, that's how we do it. You know,
how can fans best connect with you? Social media.
Yeah, social media, viceofficial.com. You can go on there, and it lists all of our social media. But if you type that into anything, you know, Facebook, you know, even like, you know, Bands in Town, all that kind of stuff, look up the name Vice. It's VYCES.
Perfect. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
That's good.
Well, we're excited to see you tonight.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys coming down and giving us some time.